The Amplified translation for Romans 10, verse 3 says, "For not knowing about God's righteousness, which is based on faith, and seeking to establish their own righteousness based on works, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Consider the following question. Are you righteous in word? Are you righteous in thought? Are you righteous in your deeds and motives? To put it another way, do your words reflect Jesus Christ? Do your thoughts reflect Jesus Christ? Are your deeds and motives reflective of Jesus Christ? If you find that your answers to these questions are no, then it's time to repent and remove the hindrances. When we are correctly positioned in Christ as the righteousness of God, we can have the confidence to present our troubles to Him and await deliverance. Now, I want you to also be aware that being in Christ and chasing righteousness, that does not make you immune from troubles, because the scripture says in Job 14, verse 1, "Man who is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." When I read this, it hits home. These troubles spoken of are the troubles that God is saying, "Bring to me and I will help you." These are the troubles that God is saying, "Bring to me and I will help deliver you." As long as you're in your rightful standing, you will see the hand of God deliver you. As long as you are in your rightful standing, as long as you are in Him, in Christ, you will see the hand of God reaching out and delivering you.
If you ever felt unqualified, if you ever felt unworthy to be used by God, then you're in good company with so many other Bible greats. You see, Moses felt unworthy to lead the people of Israel. Peter felt unworthy to wash Jesus' feet. And when Paul set out to reach the Gentiles, he counted all his religious accomplishments as rubbish. The Bible makes it clear that it's not about our qualifications. It's about God's power working through us. Understand that God qualifies the unqualified. Man looks at outward appearances, but God looks upon the heart. So today, if you think God's grace is out of reach, if you think you'll never be qualified enough, then this message is for you. I would like to tell you today that the Lord God will take you as you are. He'll take you with all your weaknesses. He'll take you with all your flaws, all your shortcomings and mistakes. Even at your lowest, God will still take you as you are. You see, He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. It doesn't matter how broken or damaged or messed up you are. It doesn't matter what you've struggled with in the past or what you're going through right now. God's power is made perfect in your weakness. We can never measure up to God's standards. But in His mercy, Jesus came to live the perfect life that we could not. And He died so that we would have the joy of knowing the Lord forever. So when the world says you're not good enough, remember that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. God loves us just as He found us. But thankfully, He doesn't leave us there. He promises to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Through Him, we can become something far greater than we could ever be on our own. He has set us apart to accomplish great things in His kingdom. He will transform and renew you. He will mold you into a vessel He can use.
Now, the Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 17, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles." Isn't that amazing that the Bible actually says that? The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. But it doesn't stop there. The Lord delivers them out of all their troubles. So what happens to the unrighteous when they cry out? Who hears them? Who delivers them out of all their troubles? From this passage of Scripture in Psalm 34, we should all be encouraged to pursue righteousness. Because when the day comes when it's your turn to cry out, if you have been pursuing righteousness, then the Lord will hear you and deliver you. God the Father has given His people the license to call upon Him when troubles of life come. Notice how I said, His people, God's people, those who pursue righteousness. And it's not to say that you're perfect, but it's to say that your desire has nothing to do with the world and everything to do with...
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Should GLP-1 weight loss medication like Wegovy and Zepbound cost thousands of dollars? We don't think so. Try LifeMD.com helps provide insurance access to the leading GLP-1 medications. Visit TryLifeMD.com and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0. Listen to Bridget's story after losing 55 pounds and using her insurance for coverage.
LifeMD helped me get covered with my insurance. Finding out that it was covered was huge. I've lost 55 pounds. I am so much healthier now that I've lost the weight. I would never be able to do it without them.
Get started today and check your eligibility for GLP-1 medication with copays as low as $0 at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Jesus Christ. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. There is a condition for you to be heard by God. That condition is righteousness. Are you a righteous man? Are you a righteous woman? And I mean righteousness according to the Word of God, not the self-righteousness which the Bible describes in Isaiah 64, verse 6, saying, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away." This is self-righteousness being described here. This is where you are righteous in your own eyes, not according to God's word, but according to the standards you've set. This isn't the type of righteousness we want or need. As believers, we ought to chase the type of righteousness that pleases God and rid ourselves from any trace of pride, arrogance, or self-righteousness. We are to chase after the righteousness of God that qualifies you and me to get God's attention. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." Don't miss how the Bible says, "in Him," so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Are you in Christ? Are you in Him? I ask these questions because there are people who are so in distress and so bothered, saying, "Why does God never answer my prayers?" Well, once again, Psalms 34, verse 17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." And then 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." So we've established a criteria for God to hear your cry. It's righteousness. And we've discovered the source of righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. None of us can be righteous unless we are in Jesus Christ. Unless we are submitted to Him, we can never achieve righteousness. Unless we are in love with Jesus, unless we are sold out for Him, we can never achieve righteousness.
Growing up, there's one thing that I heard a lot, and that was the saying, "God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good." Now, I heard this saying so often that it almost lost its meaning to me at one point. However, I would think that it's important that we acknowledge the goodness of God. And it's important that we appreciate the goodness of God. God is good. And He is good all of the time. Psalm 145, verses 8 through 11 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power." Note these attributes of God. God is gracious, God is full of compassion, God is slow to anger, and God is great in mercy. So how can we not say that God is good all the time? Come rain or sunshine, the Lord is good. Whether I have all the silver and gold the world has to offer, or I don't know where my next meal will come from, God doesn't change. He is still a good God. If my prayer is answered with a yes, or if the answer is a not yet, God is still good. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and on the earth, yours is the dominion and kingdom, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all." Your circumstances don't have a factor on whether God is good or not. He is worthy to be praised regardless. Too often we make the mistake of placing God on the same level as people. When it comes to people, we often associate how nice someone is or how good someone is based on what they do for us. However, that's not how God operates. God can answer you with a no because he loves you. And that no will be because he's protecting you. You could be praying for what you think you need, but that request is the very thing that the Lord is protecting you from. Because in the long run, that door, that relationship, that car, it will do more harm than good in your life. So we can never place God at the same level as people. We can never place God at the same level as our circumstances. I say all of this to encourage you. All of us as believers must acknowledge God for who he truly is, the Almighty. We must respect his word. We must reverence him for his glorious work. And we must adore him for being so powerful, but yet so tender and caring to us.
We all allow worry to creep into our lives knowingly and unknowingly at times. Of course, it's natural to be anxious at times. There's some harsh realities in this world that we should all be prepared for. We should know how to recognize danger and how to deal with it appropriately. But when we let worry and anxiety consume us, it stops being adaptive. It becomes destructive. It becomes enslaving. Instead of focusing on God, we focus on all the things that could possibly go wrong, things that we usually have no control over. But there's someone who is in control, our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Understand that the God who made the heavens and the earth is the same God who is watching over us right now. He is intimately involved in every situation. He is infinitely good and infinitely wise. He sees everything that could possibly happen. He sees our worries, and yet he commands us not to fear. He commands us instead to trust him. He knows what's best for us, even more than we do. And he knows that in the end, Satan will be defeated. Love will conquer all, and the forces of darkness will be no more. See, no matter what's going on in our lives, God is in control. No matter what's going on in the world, God is in control. And whether you understand it or not, God is in control. Nothing is a surprise to him. Nothing catches him off guard. God sees the entire timeline of the earth from beginning to the end. He was there at creation. And he will be there when the earth as we know it is no more. We, on the other hand, are only human. We can only see a tiny fraction of what God has planned for the people he loves. When Jesus died on that cross and when he rose from that grave, he proved that nothing and no one could stop him from getting to us. And if we are followers of Christ, we don't have to be bound by fear. Because of his amazing love, we are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We are children of God. So what do we do with all this anxiety? How do we deal with all this worry we've been carrying around? The Bible gives us a simple answer. Pray about it. The Bible says to make our requests known to God because he cares for us. He wants us to know that everything will be all right. Even if things don't turn out the way we'd hoped, instead of disparaging every moment of every day, let's be people of prayer. Let's be people of faith.
Faith is having firm trust in God. It's trusting that he is the way out. It's trusting that he is a pillar of strength when you feel weak. Faith is you saying, "I am in God's hands, despite what comes." Faith is believing that God will honor and execute his word in your hour of need. To have faith is to trust in the Almighty God and believe that he will come through for you in all circumstances. Now, the thing about faith is, faith becomes more defined and refined in difficult circumstances. And don't be fearful and start thinking that you need faith the size of Noah's Ark. In his teaching on faith, Jesus requires us to have faith as small as a mustard seed. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." If you feel like your faith is inadequate, then remember these two things. Your only requirement is to have faith the size of a mustard seed and to look to Jesus as the beginning and the end of Christian faith.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%, vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.